This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
No, I don't want your sympathy. The fugitives say that the streets aren't for dreaming now.
Hi and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Emma and I am an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is, and what AA can do to help. Then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who's an active member of AA. I am now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Hi, my name's Max. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Thank you, Max. So, what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms like the classic disease model and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you're an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think that this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognize it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the drink, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubt whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, though, some people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-time sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, so for anyone who's just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who's going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guest.
Hi, my name's Max. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Max. So, Max, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
I have been in recovery for just over 2 years now. I came into AA when I was 44, and I'm a manager. I work for local government.
And tell us, when did you start drinking, and how was that for you?
I was 13 when I had my first drink, and I guess relatively soon after that, I started going to the pubs. I got in, I looked a lot older than what I was. I hung out with the people who were a lot older and drank more than most sort of 13-year-olds would. And so that's when my drinking started. And I'm not sure at what point the scales were tipped and I found that I was drinking every day and really couldn't stop drinking. But it has been going on for a very, very long time.
Thank you. What effect did the drinking have on you, the alcohol?
I guess when I was younger, it didn't seem like a big deal at all. Everyone was going out, everyone was drinking lots. If you drank too much, if you did things that were embarrassing or stupid or dangerous, that was par for the course. That was acceptable. And then as I got older, I started to notice that other people didn't drink like I did, and that became more and more pronounced the older I got. And the I'm young, I can do what I like sort of thing slowly sort of petered out, and I noticed that people around me were settling down, they were making life-changing decisions, and I was still, you know, in party mode. I wanted to go out, and drinking became a bigger and bigger part of my life. And at the end of my drinking, it became everything. I drank alone night after night until I blacked out, and I think more than fall asleep, I lost consciousness, and that happened every night. And that takes a massive toll on your ability to live and your ability to have any enjoyment in life. And my life and the, I guess the joy that I had in my life was sort of down to about nothing. And I didn't want to carry on like that. But I was also very, very scared that if I stopped drinking, I would have no fun in my life. And that was what really scared me. And it wasn't until I went to my first meeting of AA that I saw that there were people, that there was a life on the other side of it. And my feeling always was that if I was sober, I would be like a sober driver. I would be miserable while everybody else was having fun. And that's what I thought being sober was going to be like. And it isn't like that at all. I have so much more enjoyment and fun and laughter in my life now than I did then, but I just didn't know it at the time.
So what made you realise that you needed help? Can you describe your rock bottom?
Yes, I can. I had started to see somebody, and I was very excited about this very new relationship that I was in. I thought the world of the guy involved. And one Friday morning I woke up and I looked at my phone, and there was a text from him describing my behaviour the night before as drunken, rude and belligerent. And he said, "That's it, I'm going to leave it there." That was the end of it. And to say I was heartbroken didn't even begin to describe it. But what it also did was, in black and white in front of me, was proof that I was a blackout drinker. And you're right before when you said about denial, it is so strong. You will do anything to pretend that you're not alcoholic, that because you don't want the alternative, and the alternative is to stop drinking. The minute you admit it, it's like you need to do something about it. So I never, you know, in my darkest, darkest moments, I'd think, "You're probably an alcoholic," but I didn't want to sit with it. I didn't want to own it. But when I looked at that text, I knew categorically I was a blackout alcoholic. And lots of people talk about their idea of alcoholics being old men with trench coats with bottles. But for me, I had decided that an alcoholic was someone who drank in the morning. And as I never drank in the morning, don't get me wrong, I drank until blackout every day, but I never picked up in the morning. And so that was what I clung to, thinking that I didn't have a problem. When I knew, when my life was falling apart around me, when I was losing everything that meant anything to me. And I tell you, that relationship meant a lot, and I lost it. But I ended up in AA, and it's the best thing, the most life-changing thing that's ever happened to me.
Thank you. So tell me, how did you find your way to your first AA meeting? And what was it like?
I was lucky enough to get the contact of a woman who was going to the meeting, and I was very reluctant. I was still incredibly scared. I felt like I really hit a rock bottom going to the meeting, and I was incredibly nervous, and I stood outside until it was time to go in, and I was having a cigarette thinking, do I go, do I not go? And my mind was really divided until I just put my foot inside and went in. I was very uncomfortable about it. But the people at the meeting were really welcoming, and I don't know what I expected, but it was just a room of normal people. But normal people who were welcoming, and what I was told was to listen for the similarities in the stories, not in the differences, and people talked about how I felt, and they talked about drinking alone as I did. And for me, I drank alone because I always made a scene. I had fights, I created dramas, and they were often really unpleasant, and it was all of my making. And so in the end, it was just easier just to drink alone night after night, and that's what I did. And I heard people sharing their stories about other people doing that as well, and that's where alcoholism takes you. But it was the feelings, people talking about being alone, about having no control, having the first drink. And it's hard to explain to people who are normal drinkers that when I start, I cannot stop. I just keep going on and on. So my first meeting, it was full on, it was fantastic, it was scary, and it was amazing hearing people laugh, but looking into people's eyes, and their eyes sparkled, and mine were dull.
So how have you managed to stay sober, if you can describe your process of recovery?
Well, I'm lucky that when I went to the meeting, to the very first meeting, and when I got sober, I had what people refer to as the gift of desperation, because I didn't know what else I could possibly do. And we were talking before about denial. I didn't believe that I could give up. I thought I was such a bad alcoholic, that my alcoholism was so bad, I would never, ever be able to give up. But then I went to meetings, and I saw that everyone else in the room was in recovery. And so I listened to what was said, and I did what they did. And that's what they recommend. They say, you want what we've got, you do what we do. And do what we do is you go along to a meeting and you listen to people share, and you get yourself a sponsor, and you get involved in service, which is another word for volunteer work, and you throw yourself right into the middle of AA and you talk to other alcoholics, because it is therapeutic. It is very, very good for us. And it's one of the things that I don't understand why, but it doesn't matter. It works. And we all support each other, and we're all like mini sponsors helping each other to get through. And that's how I did it. And that's how I think everybody does it.
And how would you describe yourself and the life that you have today because of your sobriety and because of AA?
Well, if you were to look at me, there is part of you could say, well, you're in the same job, you're in the same house, you've got the same car. But what's changed is I've changed. And because my outlook has changed, every single facet of my life has changed. I have better relationships with people because I'm not hungover. The thing about alcoholism is that it's not just about drinking. There are a whole lot of personality traits that tend to cluster together with people who are alcoholic. And so we can be really selfish, and we can be self-centered and lots of things like that. So when I stopped drinking, my personality changed, and I changed. I grew because I did the 12 steps that were suggested as part of the program, and my outlook changed. So now when I look at my life is completely different, and my life is a million times better. You know, and I didn't end up in a relationship with that guy, but I ended up with one who's better.
That's wonderful. So what would you say is the biggest difference of the Max that was the drinking alcoholic to the Max that's the sober recovering alcoholic?
I'm happy. That's the biggest difference. And that was one of the things that I didn't expect to find when I stopped drinking. But I guess it's more than that, because when I was drinking, my life was, in fact, incredibly small, and alcoholics tend to have some of the similar traits of selfishness and self-centeredness. And so I guess for me too, I drank to blackout so often, and I also behaved really, really badly, and so that was one of the reasons why I ended up drinking alone. And I burnt bridges with friends and colleagues and things like that. And so in the end, being alone was a much better option. But even going out and things on the weekends, I didn't like seeing people. Because I drank to blackout, I didn't know how I'd behaved. It was often, I often did appalling things that really, really embarrassed me, that didn't feel like the sort of things that I would do, and they're not the sort of things I do when I don't drink. But because I couldn't stop if I had the first one, I behaved really badly. And sometimes there'd be an entire weekend where the only words I spoke to someone was at a dairy saying, can I have a packet of Winfield Menthol 25s, you know? And my life was easier like that. Easier, but incredibly small. And I knew that it was only going to get smaller, which was really scary. And I didn't know what to do. And so when AA came along, I was lucky that I had the gift of desperation. And while I stood outside that meeting and I didn't want to go in, the alternative was not looking good for me at all. And I knew that I just couldn't carry on with a life that I'd so badly set up for myself, you know.
And what would you suggest for any listeners they think that they may have a drinking problem?
I would recommend that they go along to an AA meeting. There's no signing up. There's nothing like that. They're a group of people. You'll find that they are friendly and they are welcoming, and all they want to do is help you. And if you're unsure, why don't you just go? Why don't you take the advice that was given to me? Go along and listen to the similarities, not the differences. And if you can relate with the people who share at the meeting, then you may well have a problem with alcoholism. And deep down, you'll probably know whether you're an alcoholic or not.
So what advice do you wish that someone had given you when drinking became a problem for you?
I guess for me, I just wish that I'd known sooner. I wish that when I was younger that I had picked up, or that I'd picked up that my drinking was really different to other people's. But I think, unfortunately, part of New Zealand's drinking culture is when you're really, really young, it's just completely acceptable. But there were parts, of course, that I could see when I was in my late 20s and early 30s and things, but I simply didn't want to see it. And I know sometimes in AA people, you know, express regret that they didn't give up sooner, but I would say that I was not ready to give up until I hit that rock bottom. And I think that will be the same for a lot of people. Your life has to get bad before you're willing to change. And it also takes courage to go to that first meeting. But I would say to the people listening, you know, the people inside the meeting, all they want to do is help you. And if you go in there and listen, you know, it's not for you, that's fine. But if you've got a problem, you've got a room full of people who are willing and able to help you. And you can end up with a life that's, you know, beyond your wildest dreams as well. At best and at worst, you stop having the life that's killing you.
AA is described as a spiritual program. What does that mean to you?
What it means, when I went into AA, I had never been inside a church in a religious sense. I would describe myself as an atheist. AA is a spiritual program. AA, by the way, is, as far as I'm aware, the only thing that actually helps you recover from alcoholism. And the reason it helps you recover from alcoholism is because it's a spiritual program. And it encourages you to seek a power greater than yourself outside of yourself in whatever form that is. So it is not a religious program of recovery at all, but it is spiritual. And so now I find myself as well with a higher power that I need and that has helped and guided me during my recovery. And I guess it's hard to describe and explain to somebody, but if you think you're going to come to an AA meeting and have God rammed down your throat, you simply aren't. That's not how it works. But the people who recover tend to find that they do have a spiritual relationship with their higher power, and that's what helps us. It's also another part of AA that I can't fully explain, but it works.
Right. How has your relationships with your family members changed?
My relationships with everyone have improved since I've stopped drinking. So I'm not hungover, I'm not grumpy, I'm not wallowing in self-pity, I'm not as selfish. I mean, don't get me wrong, we all have areas that we can work on, but I'm just not the same person. I'm not as negative. I would love to tell you what was wrong with you, to pick out your faults as though that was helpful. You know, that was the sort of person I was, and I was really negative. And now I'm not. I'm not that person anymore. the glass, although it's not a wine glass, you know, is half full for me. You know, my life is really good. And part of the program of recovery for AA is the 12 steps. And within those steps, you make amends for the harm that you've done while you were drinking. And that has been fantastic for me. And I have repaired relationships. And some of them, I didn't even realize the depth that they were broken or that I actually wanted them fixed. But I have, and it's amazing. It's amazing how you change, and it's amazing how relationships change when you take the alcohol away. It is amazing.
So you mentioned that you've been sober now for over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what part of your recovery has service, and how has that impacted on your recovery?
Very early on in AA, it was suggested that service, or if, you know, for those listening, volunteer work within AA is a very good way. That the more you help other people within AA and outside of it, the more it actually helps you as well. And that help could be something like picking somebody up and taking them to a meeting, getting to the meeting early and setting up the tables and the chairs and the literature that you're going to read and that sort of thing. And there are other parts of service within AA. And I did volunteer work before I came into AA, and I know the benefit of it. It's twofold. It works for the people that you're doing it for. It also works for you, and so I would recommend it. But somebody said to me that, you know, when you start in AA, it's important to keep yourself in the middle of it and to be as involved as you can. And so I've taken that advice, and it's worked very well for me. And from very early on, I've got a sponsor, and a sponsor is your own personal guide, I guess. And they have been sober for longer than you have, and they take you, they help guide you through the steps. And the steps are what makes you well. And they help you. You can find that your thinking can get a bit skewy, that your attitudes can get, you know, and they're just there to help you along the way. And I have an amazing sponsor who is very generous with her time, and I'm very, very grateful. She's been sober for over 21 years, and I get the benefit of that sobriety, and it's just amazing. It's a very generous, very giving program.
Max, thank you so much for coming onto the show and sharing your story with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from some more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business, but if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with the Serenity Prayer, as we do in every meeting.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
And it's a battered old suitcase to a hotel someplace, and a wound that will never heal. No prima donna, the perfume is on an old shirt that is stained with blood and whiskey. And good night to the street sweepers, the night watchmen, flame keepers, and good night.
The opinions expressed on this show are based on personal experiences and are not representative of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole.